This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Got any bites yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me, down by the coal creek, it don't matter if your poles are dusty, gear in the tackle box, out on the flat rock, baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. Ooh, ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I
good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN. You can also listen to us live this morning at 99.3ESPN.com or by downloading the 99.3 ESPN app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson with Fish Dash Florida, tournament angler, membership director for CCA. Steve, it is a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
Thank you, Debbie. It was great for the invite and glad to be here and looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait to talk with you a little bit about your tournament fishing experience and maybe some of your tips and tricks for fishing with artificial lures, because I know you do a lot of fishing with artificials.
Yep, that's kind of my favorite. I do cheat every once in a while and get some live bait, but my big thing is artificials and fishing a lot of tournaments. Most of the tournaments that we fish are particularly the professional tournaments, they're all artificial lures, so we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I did not realize, so you fish redfish tournaments from here in Southwest Florida all the way up to Louisiana.
Yeah, we travel. I've got some fishing partners, and we travel from here all the way to Venice, Louisiana. That's about as far as I go. Typically, a lot of these tournaments are held throughout the state of Florida, Panhandle, and all the way over into Louisiana area.
Yeah, wow. So that's it's a lot of miles.
A lot of miles, dragging the boat.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Definitely. Well, we hear you every week give our tournament and event rundown and update, so it's good to have you here in the studio and look forward to digging into some of those subjects with you a little bit more.
Thank you.
So we are coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in beautiful downtown Estero, Florida. We're going to be live on air until 10 a.m. If you're not able to listen to the entire show or you just want to go back and catch up on previous shows, guess what? You can now head on over to 99.3ESPN.com and click on the podcast page, and you can get the podcast. They're broken down by hour there, so that's some fairly new and exciting news. I know a lot of folks were used to heading on over to the old website, so I've gotten a lot of emails about what happened to the podcasts?
I saw that this
but they've moved.
Yeah,
they're just at 99.3ESPN.com now. So we're going to go ahead and run through the weather and tides, and then we're going to open up the phone lines this morning. Phone and text lines are 239-337-3776. But first, our weather and tides. And finally, we have a break in the wind, which I know all of my fellow guide and captain friends are very, very happy about that, because we've had a lot of wind the past couple of weeks.
Hopefully they're listening to us on the boat.
Yes. So for today, Saturday, we've got sunny skies with a high near 84, east-northeast winds 5 to 10, definitely better than 10 to 20.
Yeah, like last weekend.
Exactly. And then for tonight, Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 60, northeast winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny high near 84, east-southeast winds shifting to south-southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then for Sunday night, mostly clear, low around 63, north-northwest winds 5 to 10. And then heading into Monday, we've got sunny skies, high near 85, light and variable winds becoming south 5 to 10 in the morning. So temperatures getting back up there again, winds calming down, all good for fishing.
Should be a great fishing weekend.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So hopefully you guys are out there on the water. If you did get out there this past week, despite the blustery conditions, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a text, give us a call, let us know what you were catching. We're going to head into our tides. So as always, remember the tides I read off on air for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. So for today, Saturday, the high tide was this morning at 12:17 a.m., and that was 2.3. And then low tide was this morning at 6:53 a.m. That was a negative 0.2. So had a pretty nice outgoing tide early, if you're fishing those non-human Alberto knee hours. And then this morning, best moving water is probably going to be right around 8 till noon. So low tide 6:53 a.m., negative 0.2, and then high tide 1:33 this afternoon, and that's 1.7. And then you've got low tide at 6:40 p.m. this evening at just right around a half a foot, just under a half foot at 0.5.
Should be starting to get into our higher tides for the summertime here real soon.
Yes. Yep, definitely. Moving out of those negative lows, those really low, low, low negative lows.
Yep.
Yeah. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, we've got high tide is going to be tomorrow morning right around 1 a.m., 12:58, and that's 2.1, just over 2 feet. And then low tide, 8:14 a.m., and that's right at mean low tide, right at zero. And then high tide, 2:42 p.m., and that's 1.9. So that incoming tide, fishing that tomorrow, probably best moving water right around 9:30 till 1:30 in the afternoon. And then low tide tomorrow night is at 8:20 p.m. at just 0.3. So those are your tides for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. Don't forget, it is spring forward this Sunday, and we do have a new moon. Actually, that's tonight is a new moon. So,
I love the higher tides in the mornings. That's the great time when you got incoming tides in the mornings.
Yeah, when you actually have water that you can get out and fish in.
Yeah,
right?
You don't have to worry about getting hung up on the sandbars.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Steve, if folks want to find you or reach out and see what the schedule is like for the tournaments that are coming up, you're just at fish-florida.com, correct?
Yeah, we created fish-florida.com because a lot of the tournament anglers, we were struggling to find different tournaments all over the state in one location. Several people had tournament schedules up on the websites, but they were typically local area tournaments, and nobody had one of all the state of Florida. So myself, Todd Drew, and Ethan Drew, his son, we developed fish-florida.com, and we try to promote all of the fishing tournaments, and these are primarily saltwater tournaments. We are not into the freshwater, unfortunately, yet. It's just that's a little bit too much for us. But all of the saltwater tournaments throughout the state of Florida throughout the year, we try to post them all in one place at the fish-florida.com website that allows people to see what's going on in different areas of the state. So it's worked out real well for us.
Yeah, which is it's a great resource because a lot of times – people are planning tournaments, the event organizers are planning events, boat shows, and when things overlap, folks maybe want to go to both and don't really have that option of being in two different places at the same time. So
right, and that also works for people, particularly tournament directors, when they're setting up their tournaments to be able to look and see what they're competing with as far as tournament fishermen. So, you know, try not to overlap too many different tournaments on the same weekend. I mean, this is prime. We're starting to get into prime tournament season right now, and so a lot of these tournaments are that particularly didn't happen last year because of COVID are popping up now this year, so they're trying to keep them spaced out a little bit so they're not competing with a lot of the other tournaments in their area.
Definitely. Well, I can't wait to get into more about your tournament experience. I'm looking forward to talking about that because that's a whole other kind of fishing.
Yep.
Yeah, when you're fishing on a time clock, that's a whole other thing. So we'll definitely get into that. In the meantime, we're going to head over to line one and we're going to grab Mr. Nick Davis with 239 Flies. He's standing by on line one. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Morning, Captain Debbie. Captain Steve, how are we?
Hey, you're doing great,
Nick. Doing good. How are you, Nick? How are things over at 239 Flies?
Still a little cold. Like, I don't understand why it is at 60 degrees. Just, like, cuts right to my soul and, you know, dries me out and chills me up. But I'm really looking forward to summer. I get that spring has sprung and it's nice, but went out yesterday and went looking for some baby tarpon. I didn't see any. So, you know, I'm ready for summer. Like, bring on the thunderstorms and 90-degree days and torrential downpours. It's seven weight season. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm good without the thunderstorms for a little while longer. Because I'll tell you what, the business has been good on the guiding side. So it's nice not to have to worry about those storms when you're out there on the water on a regular
crazy.
Basis.
This fishing thing might catch on. People might actually really take to fishing and actually do it like semi-regularly.
Right.
Who knew?
It's amazing what happens during a pandemic.
That's funny. James and I were talking about that this morning, you know, with some of the news with, you know, the vaccines and everyone basically who wants one being able to get one by May, and a lot of life being back to normal by July 4th, trying to kind of get out in front of it and get some more stuff in the shop to where, you know, it seems like over the last year, fishing's been about the only thing that you could do semi-regularly, but now that people can travel around and do it, we're a little worried that we just might have empty hooks in the shop, just like dangling with one pack of pseudo hair and everything's gone.
Well, it's definitely good that folks are getting in there and they're buying tying supplies and hopefully buying rods and reels. And yeah,
they definitely are. They definitely are. It's been busy. Honestly, it's been a crazy month so far. You know, we're still having the same trouble getting stuff in that, you know, everyone else is. You know, if you walk into a West Marine or, you know, even Publix still, like, there's still some empty shelves, and you know, we're still having some trouble with on that end of things. But
yeah,
you know, we got a big shipment of G Loomis in this week and a bunch of rods, and you know, 3/4 of them are already gone.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's absolutely bananas. But you know, we're staying on top of it the best we can. We got a big order of Olakai boat shoes in this week that looked phenomenal. It was really hard to not grab a size 12 and a half for myself, but I I refrained. But
good.
Stuff's coming in every day.
Yeah, so, and you said you guys are it. You're going to start kicking up tying nights again. You said probably what, in April?
I'm thinking either April or May.
Yeah.
I think that definitely by July. I think that as soon as everybody who works at the shop is able to get, everybody who wants the vaccine at the shop is able to get one. I think once we're good there, then it's kind of you know, because it's certainly easier if you have a, you know, if you're coming to fly tying night and you know you don't feel comfortable being around people, it's very easy to not you know show up. But at the same time, like, we've got to have, you know, 5 or 6 people on staff just for fly tying nights, because it gets bananas in there. So,
yeah.
So I want to give everybody who, you know, is at the shop, you know, an opportunity to get a vaccine if they want one. And then, you know, then we'll be back at it. As soon as we've got a crew of people who feel safe being around other people, like, we'll be Gucci.
Yep. Smart. That's smart.
So,
that's smart. That's what about, are you still doing some online content, Nick? Are you still doing some DIY videos and tying videos that you're posting on the YouTube channel too, so folks can go there to check those out if they're looking for some tips?
We are. We've got a YouTube channel. It's at 239flies, and I haven't put up a new fly tying video in a little bit, but I was actually talking to Patrick before he left for Belize. Real tough life that guy lives. really an easy guy to hate. Once he gets back from Belize, we've got about 3 videos that we're going to crank out, stuff we've been wanting to do for a while now, but just haven't quite had the time, or the shop hasn't quite been to the point where we want to shoot a fly tying video in it. But now that place is starting to fill up, it's looking good for video purposes. But we do have a pretty extensive online library as it is right now. So
yep.
You can go check that out. It's on our website too, 239flies.com.
Awesome. And any, you said you did get out and look, you were looking for a few tarpon and you didn't see any reports from the crew, from Sharon and EJ or anyone else that got out this past week?
I haven't heard from Sharon and EJ this week. I didn't see too much. It's been windy. Courtney and I got out yesterday for a little afternoon stroll, and my goodness, it was blowing 1,000 miles an hour.
Like, yeah, it
all
was.
Week, just blowing 1,000 miles an hour. So it made it tough, but we saw some redfish in the morning, some good ones too. Just, they saw us before we saw them, and you know, with a 20-mile-an-hour wind, it certainly made it tough. But it's there, for the taking. It might just be a little tough to do with a fly rod, but you know, hopefully next week this wind lays down a little bit and the water clarity stays good, because it was beautiful yesterday below the surface of the water.
Yeah, yeah, and that water temperature is getting up, you know, just above 70 degrees or so, and it's going to start getting good. It's going to start getting good.
The kids are catching them on the beach now, which is cool too. So
yep.
I think the beach fishing is starting to come back, which is a fun way to spend a couple hours in the morning.
Most definitely, you know it. Well, great, so. Nick. Thanks so much for calling in with the update. We certainly appreciate it. And hopefully we can get you back in the studio one of these days.
I'm in. I'm coming up on being off on Saturdays here very shortly. So put me down for, I'll give you a shout. Let's definitely
Keep me posted. Keep me posted. All right.
Absolutely. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, Nick. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
See you, Nick.
That is Mr. Nick Davis with 239 Flies. They are in the Beach Road Plaza in Bonita Springs. If you haven't had a chance to check out their new shop since they moved, definitely stop by and see them. So, Steve, all right, here we go. We've got a little bit of time here before we probably have to head to our first break. All right. Give us the scoop. So, Steve, how did you get into fishing originally?
I've been in fishing pretty much all my life. My dad and I, we used to freshwater fish, small bass area and bass fishing and bluegill and crappie and things like that. And we had borrow pits by the interstate where we were fishing and things of that nature. So I've always been around the water and around the boat pretty much from my dad. And then they happened to retire down here in Florida in the early 70s, and we had vacationed down here all the time. So I ended up visiting them one winter and said, wow, it's pretty nice down here. So I ended up moving down here when they were trying to get rid of me. So I moved down here in the 70s. So been down here a long time. I pretty much call Fort Myers home. Been here about 45 years now.
Yep.
Really love it. But the saltwater is just a fantastic area here. Here in Fort Myers, Cape Coral area, we've got some of the best saltwater fishing that there is, as far as tarpon, trout, snook, redfish, jacks, and then you do have your offshore pelagics to a certain degree as well. So, I mean, it's an all-around great fishery. So I started mostly offshore fishing years and years ago with a bigger boat. I used to dive a lot. I taught diving for Ken Sports, which is a local dive shop that was here back in the years. Mm-hmm. And then we used to spearfish a little bit. Then I got into more fishing, offshore, trolling, things of that nature. And it's funny, one day I had a good friend of mine said, you need to go backwater fishing with us. And I'd never done that. And that was back in the 90s. And so I went backwater fishing. I thought, wow, this is really great. I mean, you don't have to spend a day getting the boat ready. You don't have to spend the day after fishing cleaning the boat.
Right.
So, you know, and the water was calm. We didn't get our butts beat out on the open water all the time. So I ended up starting to backwater fish. We sold the big boat, and I downsized a little bit to a little smaller boat. I went to a skiff. And at that point, then, we started fishing a lot of the local tournaments, particularly here in Fort Myers area. There's lots and lots of local tournaments. And then we started primarily zooming in on the redfish series. And we fish the IFA redfish tours. There's several different tours that are out there. Some of them have had a little bit of trouble in the last few years trying to keep going, but started fishing those redfish tours all over the state of Florida. Then a lot of the championships and different tournaments would move over into the Louisiana area, so we've followed those tournament trails all the way over into Louisiana.
Wow.
Which is some of the best red fishing you can ever do is in Louisiana. We fished Hopedale, Delacroix, Venice, all over in Venice, Louisiana area, and it's some of the best red fishing. I mean, anybody can catch a redfish there.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. Hold that thought, because we're going to get into that. We're going to grab Captain Jim Fortman. He's standing by here. Let's grab his call. Good morning, Captain Jim.
Good morning. I'm going to try and stay stationary, but I am plugging right now.
Yeah. You're going to try to stay stationary?
But I am floating.
But you are floating.
Yep, I'm in the middle of the channel. Trying to stay in one spot.
All right. Yeah, because now that we've actually got a signal in that one spot that you're in and we can hear you, that's a plus.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how are things going?
I can see the tower.
Good. How are things going down in the 10,000 Islands, Captain Jim? What's the word from down in your neck of the woods?
Well, now that the wind has stopped,
right?
It's actually pretty good.
Yes.
Not going to, you know, there's no powder, sugar, whatever you want to put, no sweet stuff. I mean, it just was blowing all week long.
Yeah, it was.
And if anybody else had the same trouble I had on Monday, where normally in the port of the islands, you can launch on a negative low tide. This week on Monday, we actually had a 7-foot tide that dropped. And I'd never seen anything like it.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that wind blew out the tide and never let it back in and took more water out. It did a really good job on cleaning the estuaries out, though. So the fishing did pick up by about Wednesday. And, of course, you know, you guys had to have a skunk report on last Saturday.
Well, of course, in theme with the
wow,
show.
You guys are going to follow this up there. But, no, the fishing picked up, and the water quality is still really good down here. Got a group from the East Coast that are basically looking to move over to the West Coast because of fishing. Fishing's just been outstanding the last 3 days. Got redfish coming in. We got black drum that are starting to move in. We got sea trout. We got pompano. That tarpon are jumping on the outside right now. And if you're in the getting tarpon, head out to the outside and start floating mullet. That's because they're out there and they're chewing. We had one last Friday that we hooked up with. No one could get outside, but we, you know, we had a couple of reports, a couple of guys that had some offshore boats that were able to get out. They did see them. They weren't able to fish for them because it was 3 to 5. So it was a challenging time to go out there.
Yeah, and but Jim, what are you using for the redfish and the trout? What's been working?
The redfish and the trout, brown and gold has been working the best. Shrimp tip jigs are working for the bigger ones. Same thing with the black drum right now. Of course, there's also plenty of ladyfish mixed in with them as well. If you find the ladyfish, we've been finding the sea trout. If you find the sea trout alone, there's some redfish and some black drum there that are mixing in with them.
Got it.
And the pompano are on the outside, anything white with a tip shrimp, popping cork. Hey, guys, you see that tarpon right there? Oh, yeah, by the way, there's tarpon in the bay right now.
Yeah, really? All right, yeah.
Yeah.
We picked up on that.
Hey, Jim, have you seen a big influx of people coming down for the snook season opening?
Yeah, speaking of which, there's no parking in the parking lot right now here.
Yeah.
I figured everybody from up here on this side and up all the way to Tampa area, they're either going north up to Pasco or past Pasco or down to the Everglades for you.
Yeah,
I really wish they would open the season up down there. It used to be quiet down there when season was dead.
Probably puts a lot of extra pressure on you guys down there.
It does. It does put a lot of pressure on us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We actually have to get ready to head off to our first break of the morning, Captain Jim.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend.
You
I'm
too.
Put some people on some fish.
You
and,
do it. You do a good job of that.
Cork and shrimp, probably the best go-to if you can't do a jig. All right.
Good advice. Thanks, Captain Jim. Take care and have a great weekend.
Good luck,
Jim.
Take care.
Bye.
Good luck.
That's Captain Jim Fortman at BackwaterFishingNaples.net. We're going to head off to our first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson, membership director with CCA, owner at fish-florida.com, redfish tournament angler. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Captain Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, pleasure having you here in the studio. Like I said, we hear you give your update every week. It's just good to have you in here.
Yep, and glad to be here.
Talk a little bit more in depth with you about your tournament experience. So we're looking forward to that for
Sounds
sure.
Good.
Definitely. In the meantime, we have Captain Rob Modi standing by on line two. So we're going to grab his call real quick here. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Howdy.
How's it going?
How are you all doing? It's a beautiful day in Southwest Florida. I'm at my brother's house.
It is. We've got a reprieve from the wind. And
nice
some
to have
sunny
a place
skies.
To come and visit, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got my first vaccination shot up at Moffitt yesterday.
Wow.
So I got shot
Good.
Number one. So
Good.
I'm very happy about that.
Did you get the Pfizer or the Moderna?
I got the Pfizer. Yep.
Good.
No effects from the first shot other than my arm is sore. Other than that, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
But as Moffitt does everything, they run it like a machine up there. So it was great, you know. So
yep.
And then I get my next one on April, whatever 3 weeks is, April 2nd, I think it is. At least it's not on April Fool's Day. Thank God.
You got to go back up there for your second one, too, I'm assuming.
Yeah, go for the second one. Yeah, I'm getting real used to driving back and forth.
That's a lot of driving. That is a lot of driving. Hopefully you can stop and fish along the way a spot here or two.
I'm really close to my lease miles. I have to be careful on the truck, but I'm doing okay. So far, so good. So
yeah.
But,
and you've been out on the water a little bit?
It's good to hear Steve in the studio. It's unusual. His voice is different than when he calls in.
Does it sound
like
he's
got a great radio voice. He's got a great radio voice.
Your voice is deeper, and it just when you were on at first, I turned the radio on, like, who is that? And I went, oh, it's Steve. I got it. Okay, so, yeah,
Debbie called me up this week and said, yeah, you want to co-host the show? And I said, you got the right number, Debbie?
Is this the first time you've ever been on?
Well, I was here with Dave when you were leaving the last show.
Oh, okay. That's right. I remember. Yeah. Good. Okay,
He came in here like he's been doing it for years this morning.
Hey, Steve's a good talker. Jeez, you know, you need to get him in there more often.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah.
We're going to drag Dave back in here as well.
Yeah, we need to get Gabe in the studio. That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, it is.
So, Rob, what's...
Speaking of Dave...
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's going on with you?
Well, that's where I'll be this today at 11 o'clock. From 11 o'clock this morning to 1, I'll be at Lear's Economy Tackle. I'll be signing books and yakking and talking to people and come visit. If you haven't been to Lear's Economy Tackle, you really, really, really need to do it. It's still one of my favorite tackle shops in all of Southwest Florida, no question about it. So,
and if they don't have it, you don't need it.
Exactly. And that is, when you walk in there, you're going to discover that what we've been saying all along is the absolute truth. So, you know, he carries what you need. He carries what we use. Let's put it that way. He carries what we use. And that's important, real important.
Yeah. They've been around for a long time.
Not to mention that Dave is just a fishing encyclopedia.
He is.
Fishing encyclopedia.
I was born in 53. He opened in 54, people.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time, trust me. And you're right. He knows. I don't think I know anybody that knows as much about fresh and salt all at once. I really don't. He's really well versed in that whole bit. So, and he's a lot of fun to talk to. He's a lot of fun to talk to. So it's all good. But anyway, 11 o'clock this morning. Yes, we have books, so you don't have to worry about that. If you have a book that you've already bought Amazon or whatever, you want me to sign it, by all means, bring it. I'd be happy to do that. And I'm looking forward to talking. I didn't do much fishing. I didn't do any fishing. The wind on the East Coast has been horrendous, just horrendous. It's constant 20 with gusts of 35 on just about the last 5 days. So it's supposed to slow down today.
It's definitely made fishing interesting, especially when you've got fly clients out. But we made it happen this week.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
A lot of flies in the back of the hat, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds like sail fishing weather over there on that side.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, it really knocked the beach down, of course. That ended the beach fishing. And this is the time of year when things are really starting to run. Stuff's starting to move along the beaches on the East Coast now.
Yep.
And it kept all the boats in. I mean, even the big boats weren't going to venture out in that stuff. But supposedly, I'm not obviously not there today, but I talked to Jonelle this morning. She said the winds are definitely lighter, and it's supposed to be really nice by Sunday. And we're not expecting another front, I think they said, till Thursday. So hopefully people will be able to get out and do some fishing. I saw some really good pictures of inshore. There were guys getting on the canals. The guy I bought the Hobie kayak from, he's a guide over there, and he guides for peacocks. And he sent me a couple of pictures of mammoth peacock. I mean, one that he had was about 8.5. It was almost 9 pounds. So there's some really monster peacocks, and he said they're getting ready to bed, so they're feeding extremely well right now. So,
yep,
I'm anxious. We're going to try to put the kayaks in tomorrow. So,
yeah, get out there and get it done for sure. I know the guys here have been seeing some really nice pompano and around the passes. I mean, Greg got one that was, I think, over 5 pounds this past week.
I saw the photo your hubby posted. That was a big. That's the kind of pompano that'll feed four.
Yep.
Most people don't realize that pompano is more meat than bone. And so when you catch a pompano, it's even a, a decent 2-pounder is usually enough to feed two people, but a 5-pounder, good grief.
Yeah, and lots of nice big redfish, too, up to 14 yeah. pounds or so. So, yeah, it's been fishing is definitely heating up. It's
yep.
been good.
Yep.
It's been good.
Well, the water temperature's coming up. You got the new moon right now, so you got a real good tide.
Yep.
And, yeah, get yourself out there and play.
Definitely. So. Well, thanks for yep. checking in, Rob. It's always good to hear from you, and hopefully folks will come up and see you. You said what time is that at Lear's Economy Tackle this
11
afternoon?
11 this morning, Lear's Economy Tackle up in North Fort Myers.
11. So. Awesome.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, you take
right.
care. Good luck with the signing. Have a great afternoon
right.
and rest
you
of the
bet.
Weekend, and hopefully
Steve,
we'll catch you next Saturday.
Yep, and Steve, good to hear your voice on the radio.
Hey, it's good to hear you, Rob. I'll probably be up at the shop a little later on after we get done here.
Oh, good. Oh, good. It'd be great to see you again.
All right.
Yep.
Take care, Rob.
All right. See you, Rob.
Bye.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
This is Captain Rob Modis. Go see him up at Lear's Economy Tackle. We're going to head over to line one. We got Captain Barry Kuda standing by. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Man, what an incredible day this is.
It's going to be a nice day. It's a nice morning. It was nice
There's
when I walked
Kim
out the door
sitting,
this morning.
Kim and I are sitting on the lanai enjoying the weather. Now with the screen, the bugs can't bother us. The sun is up. There's no breeze. It is a beautiful, the temperature is perfect. The tide will be coming in a couple hours. I'll be able to get out of Spring Creek and I'll go fishing, but I got projects to do around the house first. But last weekend, Greg and I replaced the nylon slides in my jack plate, which were shot. And they'd been telling me I needed a whole new jack plate. And Greg said, you don't need a whole new jack plate. You just need to replace those slides. I said, yeah, but that's impossible. He said, no, it's not.
Who's Greg? Your brother? Greg? Your mechanic?
Yeah, my brother.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh, he is so awesome. What an incredible brother I have. So we spent 2 days, all day Sunday and all day Monday, replacing those slides, and we had to, it was so crazy. And at one point, the boat wasn't sitting just right on the trailer. We actually jacked up the back end of the boat with his floor jack and some 2x4s and tied a come along to the trailer and to the back end of my truck and winched the trailer sideways.
Barry, you have more boat stories than anyone I know.
Hey, life is just one thrill after another.
So needless to say, you didn't get a chance to get out on the water this past week, then. You don't
exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Did you have to pull the engine off the jack plate, Barry?
Oh, no.
Well, we couldn't. We don't have the equipment for it. So what we did was we suspended it with the floor jack. We put some wood under the skeg and suspended it so its weight was on the floor jack and just suspended in the tracks. And we got the old nylon out, which was in pieces, and it was, oh, God, it was hours and one challenge after another. But we accomplished it. And then we already had the new tracks, and getting them in was quite a challenge, too. But we'd move it this way and move it that way and trim it up and down and slide the jack plate up and down. And, oh, but we got it.
Awesome.
It's perfect now.
Good.
Good deal. Good to hear that. So you're going to try to get out today. That's your plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got today, tomorrow, and then I've got to go into work Monday. We're putting all new lighting in the showcases, and the guy's going to show up Monday. But I may even be able to get out Monday afternoon. I got to get back on the water. I got water time. I'm missing out. I got to get on top of the patterns, get some fishing pictures.
Yeah, it's been good out there from the reports that I've been hearing. So hopefully, you can get out there today.
One thing I'll circle back to your talk last week about getting skunked, and of course Alberto Crazy Captain Crazy made a lot of good points, and so did you. But one of the things I wanted to mention was Edison pointed out that he didn't fail 1,000 times; he just found 1,000 things that wouldn't work. And when we go out there and we think we're getting skunked, we're just learning stuff not to do again.
That's it.
Fishing's all about timing anyway. I tell my clients, and people want to steal our spots. They say, oh, those captains, they know where to fish. I'm going to go watch where he goes, and then I'm going to go there. And I say, hey, have at it. I can't catch a fish there tomorrow either. It's all patterns. You got about 40 minutes on a good spot, and then it's not a good spot anymore, and it's a rolling changeover.
There's a lot more that goes into it, and for those who want to be successful, as you well know, it's all about putting all the the factors of the equation together at the right time. It's not just where to go. It's knowing where to go at the right time. If your timing is off or the conditions aren't right, it's you're not going to have success there. So and furthermore, if you're focused on spots, you're not going to be able to replicate that if you go to a new area. If you can figure out the patterns and get on the patterns, then that's what's going to make you a consistent and successful angler. So,
Well, and that's why you keep a log, too. And I tell clients, for example, when a fish gets away and you don't even get it to the boat, if I saw it and can identify it, I log it as a catch. And it's not a tournament. I don't have to get it on board and take a photo, but I know what it was, where it was, when it was. That goes in the log.
That's scouting. Yep, that's just part of scouting, what we have to do for sure. All right, Barry, well, we got to head off to a break, so I'm going to let you go, or you're going to let
Love
yourself
you
go, as you would normally say. But, Sir Barry Kuda, it was great hearing from you. You have a great weekend. Enjoy this beautiful weather today.
Oh, yeah.
Say
Thank
hi to Kim.
Love you guys.
All right, take care.
Take care, Barry. We'll see you.
That is the one and only Barry Kuda. We're going to head off to a break. You are listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Stuck in second gear. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with special guest co-host Captain Steve Johnson.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. With Fish Dash Florida, membership director for CCA, Redfish Tournament Angler. Wow.
Great to be here.
Rick, that's probably, that's honestly, wow, friends.
That was a very Pete Shepherd moment with the singing. Coming back to the song, so that's good. I like that.
What's hilarious is I've been listening to their podcasts on the website, obviously, and it is funny because you hear Pete singing, but you don't hear the music in the background.
Exactly. Yeah, well, which unfortunately for you, effective today, is going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I'll apologize in advance to everybody who's listening. Sorry about that, guys.
We had this big meeting last week about, copyright and blah, blah, blah. So we found out that while we have a license to play music on the air, we don't have a license to play music on the internet.
Yeah.
So henceforth, we've got to cut out the music. So if you're listening to the podcast, Debbie just felt like singing for you.
I just wanted to serenade each and every one of you from
the
studio.
She had friends on the mind.
No, but that's like, gosh, friends, that just takes me back. That was my 20s.
The band, incidentally, is a pretty good band called the Rembrandts that does the song.
The Rembrandts were awesome. Yes. There was another song.
They had
a big hit.
Yeah, they had a couple.
That was really good. I can't remember the name of it. It'll come to me later. But anyways, so real quick, we got a couple of texts here. Grand Poobah sent in a text of his hot new snook lure, which just happens to look a little bit like a piece of Kentucky Fried Extra Crispy with two treble hooks hanging off of it and even a plastic lip on the front. Grand Poobah, way to go. Way to go rigging that piece of chicken up for
That's my kind of fishing lure right there. I'd bite on that for sure.
If it works, use it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness, goodness. And then let's see. We got a text here from Nate. Just built myself a new grouper rod. Seeker Hercules blank. Siegler reel, titanium guides, and 65-pound braid. Whole thing weighs less than 2 pounds. Can't wait for the wind to lay down so I can get it wet. Well, Nate, this weekend's your opportunity. Get out there.
Today's the day.
Yeah, today's the day. Wow, that's a sharp-looking rod. It looks like it's got, is that a wind grip there, Nate? It's hard to tell from this picture, but really cool wraps. Looks like purple. So he's got like a purple wrap on it and a purple handle. That's really good looking rod. Way to go, Nate. And then we got a listener in Plano, Texas. Please respond. Are you aware that your archive radio program hasn't been uploaded to Real Talk in over a month? Yes, listener in Plano, Texas. So as we mentioned on air this morning, all of the podcasts, all the archive shows are now being uploaded at 993ESPN.com. That is where you can find those. So please head on over to the 993ESPN website and you just click on that podcast
link. Right. There's a Real Talk radio page on there for the podcast. So yes.
Yes.
And we're not doing the realtalkradio.net anymore. So this is your source for the podcast.
There you go. Thank you, Rick. Yes. And then, so that's basically it. Yep, he said he spoke to somebody last week, but we've got that covered. We've got that covered. Just head on over to the 993ESPN.com website. That's where they'll be. And also, for those of you who are looking for updates, we do have a Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio, and we post all the information there as far as who's coming up on future shows. And we did post about the podcast update there, too, and where those podcasts could be found. So definitely head there. So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about these redfish tournaments that you are going to start fishing. That's coming up, right? You said the first one's coming up here.
Yeah, we'll be doing
next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll be doing the Flassmaster Series. That's a series out of Punta Gorda. That's with Jerry Cleffey, and he runs a great event. He's been running that event for probably over 20 years now. It's one of the longest running tournament series here in Southwest Florida, almost in the state. So we'll be fishing that. We also fished the IFA tour. Unfortunately, that tour right now is on pause, so we're not sure what's going to be happening there. We've got the Power Pole Pro Redfish Tour. They have various Redfish Tour tournament events all over the state of Florida, and some of those will be happening soon. And we also have North Florida Redfish Series that's starting up this year. So we've got several new Redfish Tournament Series starting up this year. And unfortunately, some of the older ones that we've done very well at have had to go by the wayside, at least for this year. We're not sure for how long some of those are going to be in pause. But
yeah,
we'll be traveling all over the state doing these tours. So some of the talks that I'll be doing in the future on Saturdays will probably be from the boat. So we'll be keeping everybody up to date on what's happening. Everything should be on fish-florida.com. You can go to that website and look for all the tours and events. And if there's nothing up there that something's missing, let me know, and I'll get it up there for everybody.
So, Steve, how about real quick, one or two pieces of advice for maybe a few recreational anglers out there who are looking to potentially get into tournament fishing? Because obviously tournament fishing is a whole other animal. It's a totally different mindset. So what are your one or two top pieces of advice in terms of someone who's looking to start tournament fishing?
Well, don't be afraid to get out there and give it a shot. I started into it a lot for the camaraderie. I met a lot of great anglers, great guys. And everybody's helpful. It's not like everybody's in a big secret society here. We all try to help each other. A lot of people will fish together, share information. So you learn a lot from these guys. And everybody's usually very open, even to the new anglers and things like that. I would advise starting in the local tournaments here locally. We have lots and lots of local tournaments. We have the FGCU Falcon Eagle that's happening today. We have Emma's Hope that is also happening today. I know Greg's fishing that.
Yep, he is.
So start with your local tournaments, the smaller ones. They're a little more economical. You start getting into some of the redfish tours and some of the other places where you have to travel. You have a little bit more expense. You have hotels, travel expenses. Usually, like when we go to Louisiana, we'll spend a week to 10 days pre-fishing these tournaments. So it does get into some expense. So start out with your local tournaments. Make sure that you enjoy it. Have a good time. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. Just get out there and enjoy it and ask questions. These guys will, everybody that's there will help you out, you know, telling you, you know, what areas to fish, what tides. They're not going to obviously give you their spots and times, but,
right,
you know, they're going to help you in any way they can.
Yep, that's really, really good advice. To start local, get your feet wet, so to speak,
and a lot
with
of the,
tournament fishing.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
then
local
branch
tournaments
out from
are,
there.
Right, exactly. And a lot of the local tournaments, they're live bait or artificial. Some are strictly artificial. Some are a combination of. So You can do different things. And if you're not comfortable throwing artificials all day, you know, you can get some shrimp or live bait or whatever you like and go at it that way.
Yeah, and most of the redfish tournaments that you're fishing are all artificial, correct, Steve?
All the professional series tournaments are all artificial, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll talk a little bit about that because obviously, you know, a lot of people get started, they use live bait, and then they get ready to kind of move on and challenge themselves a little bit more by fishing with artificials. So we'll talk a little bit about maybe lure selection and how you kind of choose based on color and water clarity and all that type of scenario, all those types of scenarios. So we'll get into that in a minute.
Hey, just before we go to break, too, Grand Poobah just called in and kind of gave us a shame on you guys. He said clearly that is a piece of Publix chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. That's what I said. I go, you're right. How in the world? It's a kind of a small picture.
I am so sorry, Grand Poobah.
But I said, you know what? If someone's going to use chicken, clearly they're going to go with the Publix chicken,
right? It looked to me that would be the case, especially yes. Based on the video that someone shared last year. It is a small picture, and it does look like it's got a lot of breading coating on it. So,
well, that makes all the difference.
We should just always assume when we see a piece of chicken, it's from Publix.
Okay, just assume that it's Publix. I got it, Grand Poobah. So sorry. All right, we're going to head off to a break. You're listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.